First of all, I would like to say that I am happy and glad to be here along the lines described in our perspective by the moderator. That is to say that I do not believe that in this strange dispensation of grace, I would like to state that so you know the sense I speak. I'm talking about from the day of Pentecost, the second chapter of the Gospel. From that day, now if I would go down into sacred time and then translate it over into our time according to the Gregorian calendar, it would be the sixth day of Genesis, A.D. 33, at about 9 o'clock in the morning. Now, I said that to pinball, so that you would know what I meant when I said in this present dispensation of grace. Now, this is a school. A school of learning, not a church. That would almost force me into defining what a school is and what the church is, since at every interval I have to stop and define these words. Now the word church, as it is used in your Bible, as said to be expressed by the Apostle Paul, which if you would say church to him, he wouldn't even know what he was talking about. The word church means congregation or assembly. That is the correct meaning of it. A school means a place where you go to learn and to get some understanding. That too is people congregated together to learn. So then the difference between one and the other is but a very little difference. Now that draws me out on saying this. In the 17th chapter of Acts of the Apostles, God said through the Apostle Paul, I hope I understood too, that God dwelleth not in temples made by hands. But he dwells in our heart by faith. And you are the temple of God. And you were not made by hand. I had to go through all that in order to get around on the subject. And the reason for that is, I want you to know and sapient it in modern language and understanding as we understand it. That I too belong to the Church of Christ. And I am not referring to this building here or on Figueroa or any other street. Because as I understand it to be, it is a spiritual body, not a physical. And that it is by one spirit, as expressed by the Apostle Paul in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians and about the 13th verse. It is by one Spirit that you are baptized into the one body, or baptized into Christ. By one Spirit, whether you be Jews or Gentiles, it makes no difference. I would like for that to be understood. Now the reason why I'm so particular about those remarks is because last night, many things I said, which was a repetition of what was in the book, the Bible I'm talking about, were misconstrued, misunderstood, misrepresented, misinterpreted. My expression that come out of the book, which was nothing but repeating what was in the book, even down my intellectual capacity, which was not involved in our discussion. That's my diction and my ability to speak profound and academic, which I'd like for you to know that I have taught men with the degrees of Doctor of Divinity, Doctor of Philosophy, PhDs, and PhDs don't mean whole niggers either. As my worthy opponent said last night, I didn't define it to mean no such. Then let us talk about the deity, which is said to be on that book that I read. Since we got a PhD degree, since we have a Doctor of Divinity degree, let's let God define this one this time. M.D.D. The 56th chapter of Isaiah and the 9th and 10th verse will define it. Read,
all ye beasts of the field,
all ye beasts of the field,
come to devour,
come to devour,
yea, all ye beasts in the forest.
Read,
his watchmen are blind,
his watchmen are blind.
They are all ignorant.
They are all ignorant.
They are all dumb dogs.
That's your D.D. Dumb dogs. Now, God defined it, not me.
Read on. They cannot bark.
They can't bark or they can't greet. Read.
Sleeping.
Sleeping. Read on.
Lying down.
Lying down.
Loving to slumber.
Loving to slumber.
Yea, they are greedy dogs.
Yes, they're greedy dogs.
Which can never have enough.
Which can never have enough.
From his quarter.
From his quarter. I am the dean here. I am not looking for no dean. I never have been paid one cent. At no time. And I have been preaching for 33 years this same thing that we're discussing tonight. But I would like for you to know this. I could have been in the year 1935 a millionaire, and I refused. And since I've been in California, come here in 1958 in August, I was called over here in Hollywood. And some of my companions who are now seated in this audience, were present with me. And the multi-millionaire, Dr. Billy Greer, offered to back me up with their money just like they did Billy Greer. I refused. And as I stand here before you now, I do not have a penny in the bank, in my pocket, at home, if you want to call it that. Well, what are you talking about? I thought you were supposed to be discussing my affairs here in the dispensation. Get it? You offer the subject. Well, if I'm offered the subject, as I just expressed, Postcode Diggers was offered the subject last night. Then I wanted to make a reference last night to the sixth chapter of Hebrews. And I was not to introduce it because it was off of the subject. Now with me, I thought that was stupid last night, and I still think it's stupid tonight. For you to say that it was off of the subject. Because it had to do with water baptism. And that was the subject. Not the epistle. And what he was talking about in that epistle is on the subject. So since I didn't have an opportunity to express it last night, I'm going to hurry to hear it. I'm going to express it tonight. And then I'm going back and read out of the Bible about this water, physical, mental, natural water baptism in this present dispensation, this dispensation of grace. I said then and I say now that it is non-essential. And I further made the statement last night, and I do demand tonight that anybody, not only in this audience, anybody in the world, I've said it a multiplicity of times, take your Bible and show me. Don't want, but just one person.
that is a Gentile, that the apostles, any one of them, baptized in physical, literal water in the transition phase of that, judging the individual. Now we went back and forth. Matthew 28:19, where Jesus said, after he raised from the dead, or after his resurrection, go ye therefore into all the world, baptizing every creature. Let that every creature send thee. Because it means Jews and Gentiles. That if you classify a Gentile as a creature in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world, should have been translated A, the word world. Here's something else I want you to notice about that same thing that apparently was overlooked. He told me about it. You go. You go and baptize in the name. Now down at Cornelius' house, in the 10th chapter of Acts of the Apostles, when God poured out the Holy Ghost, before those people got in the water, and I mean they're Gentiles and the first of the Gentiles, it says that in the 10th chapter and the last verse, that Peter said, or that Peter commanded, or demanded them to be baptized in blood. Now this, Christ did not send them to appoint somebody else to do the job of baptizing in water. He sent them to do it, not to appoint somebody else to do it. Now if you want to get all polytechnical, careful and particular, if that's what you want to do, which I admire, I like that. Then in the first chapter of Acts of the Apostles, Luke says that Jesus said, John truly baptized with water. I said that was under the dispensation of the law. And Jesus said, after he resurrected, he talked to those apostles just before he ascended. Said John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. We have found out by careful research in the scripture that it was 10 days after his ascension that the Holy Ghost was poured out. And Cornelius and his household are no Gentiles prior to that have been baptized in water. Now that makes me almost have to step backwards and get that easy over you. And I said that he was a Jew from Ethiopia. And the theologians question whether he was or not a Jew from Ethiopia. Then in the 15th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, Peter said, suppose you read that the Gentiles first heard the word of the Lord at his mouth. Read it, please.
And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them,
that's right,
men and brethren,
men and brethren,
you know how that a good while ago,
mm-hmm,
God made choice among us,
mm-hmm,
that the Gentiles, by my mouth,
mm-hmm,
should hear the word of the gospel and believe.
That's correct.
And God, which knoweth the heart, bear them witness,
mm-hmm,
giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us.
As he did unto us.
And put no difference
and between no us difference
and them.
Between them.
Purifying their hearts by faith.
Purifying their hearts by faith. One other cardinal point. I want to know that all of the apostles and elders were gathered together in that congregation or assembly. There in Acts of the Apostles, where he agreed. And I would like for you to realize this too, that the Holy Ghost was present. Please read that. The 15th chapter there.
Yes. And God's known.
28th verse. Now, see, we have to be so particular about this chapter and verse business. All right, we know.
For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost.
For it seemed good.
And to us.
To the Holy Ghost. And to us.
To lay upon them.
To lay upon them, the Gentiles.
Upon you. No greater burden than these necessary
things. No greater burden than these necessary things. Right in that. What are them necessary things? I want it read.
That you abstain from
that
meat.
That you abstain from meat.
Offered to idols.
Offered to idols.
And from blood.
And from blood.
And from things strangled.
And from things strangled.
And from fornication.
And from fornication.
From which if you keep yourself,
mm-hmm,
you shall do well.
You shall do well. Well, now what did I have that read for? All of them was back. And they never said a thing about them being baptized in water. All of the elders was back. I'd like to point out something else that he just read. That we speak quite frequently about. Paul said all things was lawful unto him, but all things are not expedient. Paul taught that certain sins, and that's what that audience or congregation was together of that order discussion. They called a carnal-minded Jew was contending that the Gentiles should be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. So therefore the apostles and the brethren come together for to discuss that matter. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And you just heard what the man read out of the book. Now I'm telling you, Paul shaved his head
on the day of Pentecost. I'm not talking about the Acts 2, 4, that day. I mean, here.
I say he's circumcised sinners.
Then stop that circumcision. Nor uncircumcision. Or they
are
nothing.
But he did. But he didn't speak that the veil of anything. That is not all he did. He ate meat that was sacrificed to idols. And you just heard it read there to satisfy his hunger and his appetite with no conscience whatsoever or with no respect to the idol.
He ate it to sacrifice things he could sacrifice to the idol to satisfy his hunger.
And he said, if in me offend my brother,
I'll eat no more meat. My world is dead.
Now somebody comes along with an erroneous concept
that Paul meant that he wouldn't eat any flesh of an animal or anything like that. And he was a vegetarian. That's what he meant.
I said, no. And Paul did eat meat after that. And also said, anything that's sold in China, eat. Don't ask no questions for conscience sake. Eat anything that's set before you.
Now look at the thing that we have got there. But he did not teach in the form of a doctrine.
Now I brought all of that in to show you that all of those things were literal. They were physical. In order to get down to this. When Paul preached everywhere to the Jews and to the Gentiles, he preached in the name of Jesus Christ. And when he was speaking and preaching in the name, I'm telling you that both Jews and Gentiles were being baptized in the name, please, not in the water. And you cannot read in Matthew 28:19, or in Mark, the 16th chapter, or in Luke, where Jesus said anything to them about baptizing them in water after he had risen from the dead. I said last night that the reason for it. And Paul told the Corinthians, he sees all the Gentiles and the Jews in preaching the name.
That he was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ.
That I would like for you to know that that is my understanding of what Jesus meant. When he said, go and baptize them in the name. And he said nothing about the water in this present dispensation. In the fifth chapter of Paul's epistle to the Romans, he said, there in that fifth chapter, come with them back to Adam and
Then come down to Moses. In that fifth chapter, talking about Adam and the Jews and the baptism of repentance. And then when we got in the sixth chapter, he said, what shall we say then? What shall we prove? The Jews! Because the Holy Spirit was given unto them first. And they went to the Gentiles and sat. Being sent of God, of course. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid! How shall we that are dead to sin
live any longer therein?
Know ye not, or don't you know, that as many of us who the Jews, that were baptized into Jesus Christ, was baptized into his death. Therefore we should be, I'm just getting into it in a way you can understand, we should be like him in his resurrection. Now the 11th verse, where it's making it appeal to the Romans, who are Gentiles. In the 11th verse, please read it.
Likewise,
not just like that.
Read. Reckon ye also.
Not, sir, don't start out there and do that. Just likewise, reckon yourself.
To be dead and
to be dead in him.
But alive unto God through Jesus Christ.
Now that wasn't understood last night. Here I come again. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Paul talking about, now after that, likewise, reckon
yourself.
Not only do it, but reckon yourself. Paul said, Abraham offered up Isaac, his only son. He didn't say that he was going to do it. He didn't say that. He said he offered him up. You know as well as I do, when we go back into Genesis, when Abraham threw up his arm to put Isaac to death, the angel stayed in hand and cut that ram there in the thicket and offered him up. But the thing I'm pointing out to you is this, that Abraham in his mind put Isaac to death. In his mind, he said, counting or reckoning that God was able to raise him from the dead, that his seed or posterity would continue on. It was a settled thing in Abraham's mind. And I'm telling you that you must do likewise in your mind as Abraham and as Paul is teaching. Now I know I don't have time to go into it. Get my bell time. But I thank God I will to read it out of the Bible. I'm talking the second chapter of Colossians. To get in with the Bible. See, first. Where Paul said that we are circumcised by the circumcision of Christ. And he was circumcised 8 days after he was born in the flesh. When then you are fairly Gentiles now. Now, did you notice the circumcision was made without hands? Now, do you mean to tell me that you don't take your hands and come on somebody and get them in the water?
Yes, I'm
there. I have 5 minutes. Thank you. I'm glad of that 5 minutes. I'll make the best of it. Do you have it? Read it, please.
In whom also ye are circumcised, mm-hmm, with the circumcision.
With
made,
the circumcision.
Made without hands.
Made without hands.
In putting off the
in body. In putting off.
The body of the sins of the flesh.
In putting off the sins of the body of the flesh. Read on.
By the circumcision of Christ.
Now that's by the circumcision of Christ. Now that I get a real structure and say this, now when you get Christ, you got the whole thing, you're complete in Him. Colossians 2:9. Read on.
Buried with Him in baptism.
Buried with Him in baptism.
Wherein also
right in the same thing. You are what?
Risen with Him.
Risen with Him. How'd that happen?
Through the faith of the operation of God.
Through the faith and the operation of God. Nobody punched anyone and took him up out of there. Now, do you see that? Now, those are the things I was talking about there. Now skip on down in that thing and repeat what we had last night.
Wherefore, if you be dead with
wherefore is a conjunction. It's an articulation. Meaning, a conjunction. And, but, it's an or. Wherefore and where. And what have you. See? They join together two complete thoughts. This hand is an articulation or a conjunction. It joins the two thoughts together. Wherefore, read.
If ye be dead with Christ.
If ye be dead. Listen. These Colossians are Gentiles.
If ye be dead with Christ.
Read on.
From the rudiments of the world.
From the rudiments. Other words, you know what the rudiments are? If you don't, you better get a dictionary or something and look them up. Say, from the rudiments of the world. Read.
Why?
Answer. Why?
As though living in the world.
As though living in the world.
Are ye subject to ordinances?
Are you subject to ordinances? Why are you subject to ordinances? I wish my worthy opponent would explain that. Why did Jesus and the Apostle Paul contend that they were nailed to the cross? Stop that. Now my worthy opponent, I don't have but a few minutes. He showed that this so powerful Great Commission, going out and baptizing someone body in water. That water is just what he's talking about. It's just as literal as that that John the Baptist baptized me. But to baptize a man in real true water, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture said, did out of his belly, shall flow into the living water. This spake he of the Spirit. And John explained it himself, Jesus did. That this spake he of the Holy Ghost, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, but Jesus spoke those words. And that man stood up now on the day of Pentecost, living water was flowing out of their hearts and out of their minds. You understand? And from that day on, all of their apostles, regardless of which one of them was, living water was flowing. One hill got there, he's been flowing. I think my constituents here say that my time is expired. It is.
Gentlemen, moderators. Well, that one. brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, and friends. My name is R.N. Hogan, and that's the question we say. I'm before you to deny something that has not been stated or proved or attempted in a way of proof. My worthy opponent, even though he's very highly educated, didn't seem to recognize that an affirmative proposition he's supposed to define. Defined so clear that there'd be no misunderstanding about the proposition involved, whatever. Of course, he didn't do that. He spent a lot of time talking about himself. I came to California. Those that offered to support him and all of that, about him being broke. Well, he's got a lot of customers. Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. If he had spent that time that he's talking about himself and preaching himself and affirming the proposition he signed, then I'd have something to work on. But somehow he neglected to do that. He went to work to define the title of ED. He gave God's definition of it. And according to him, an idea, since 1610, it had been dumped off. Well, after all, the doctor's the one wearing that title, not me. So it was dumped off. You messed yourself up. You're the ED. ED's buying your name on your book, not mine.
Of course, he criticized our moderator because we would let him bring
talking about. He didn't get up and say, you are not to bring in something on the subject if you stand here tonight. You stand here tonight that he objected to you bringing in something that pertains to the subject. Well, that is not true. You attempted to bring in something new, a new argument that I didn't have a chance to answer, and that's why he stopped. But now, I'm going to answer this. All right. No man can baptize into Christ's death, for Christ is not dead. And then he said that was the reason John the Baptist baptized in water before his death. Well, if John baptized before his death, he wasn't there when John baptized. If you can't baptize into Christ's death, or water into Christ's death, because Christ is not dead, then John baptized before Christ's death. He wasn't baptizing into Christ's death because Christ wasn't dead when John was baptizing. And then he couldn't baptize into Christ's death after John's baptism because he said Christ was dead and Christ was not dead. Well, according to him, there's only 3 days you could baptize into Christ's death, and that is when Christ was in the heart of there, 3 days, 3 nights, because that is the only time he was dead.
You get up here and say, what is the grace? Holy Spirit says, what?